The following podcast is a presentation by the Friends of Willow Court. Each podcast represents the memories and experiences of the person being interviewed. This oral history project records ex-staff, patients and residents, family members and tradespeople. Each podcast is copyright protected and can only be used with the written permission of the copyright holder.
So I guess my story, my association with Willow Court starts back in 1989 when I was working in the disability field in South Australia and had no particular plans to move to Tasmania at that time, didn't know anything about Willow Court at that time. And so there were a set of circumstances that were coincidental that ended up with me taking up a position at Willow Court. So in 1989, my then wife and I had been out and came home late one night, flicked on the TV, and on the ABC was this massive exposure about this place called Willow Court in Tasmania. It was following the report by Ray Pettifer that was describing it as the worst institution of its kind in Australia at the time. It talked about a number of incidents and practices that were certainly unsavoury and unprofessional. At that time, I was a senior staff member in an institution in South Australia, and obviously the story then pricked my interest. And many of the things that were being reported were not dissimilar to events that had happened in the place where I was working in Adelaide. And so the first thing that occurred to me was, why was this suddenly on the national media when similar events happened in other locations and never got that level of media coverage and detail? So there was a bit of interest there around the story. I sat and listened to the rest of it, and that was it initially. And then a couple of weeks ago, again coincidentally looking through the newspaper and actually saw an advertisement in the South Australian papers for the position of CEO and Director of Nursing for Willow Court. So having reflected on the story that had been on the ABC, it gave me pause to think about whether that was a position and a role that I'd be interested in taking on. To be honest, I initially put in an application thinking I expected I would at least get shortlisted for the job. Didn't necessarily expect that I would be offered the job, but thought that I'd get a free trip to Tasmania for the interview and I'd be able to come back to Tassie, which I hadn't been to for about 10 years at that time. So I did get interviewed for the job and then ended up getting offered the job and moved to Tasmania in early 1990 to take up that role. As far as I know, it was the first time that the roles of Director of Nursing and Chief Executive Officer had been combined into one position. And it was interesting for me coming to a state where I knew, absolutely nobody at all. Had no friends, no family, and no social networks in the state whatsoever. So there was a little bit of naivety. I mean, I was only 30 years old taking on this senior position. There was a bit of naivety about what I was walking into. I remember coming across to Tasmania for the interview and coming over on the boat, landing in Devonport and driving down and driving into New Norfolk and stopping at a shop to ask where Willow Court was, and people didn't know. And so I had to sort of hunt around for the place to find it. My interview wasn't being held in Willow Court, so all I got to do was a quick drive-through, and my first impression was quite surprised at the age of the facility. The place I'd worked in Adelaide was quite a new institution. It was purpose-built, it was quite modern in its design, and a lot of the practices there were quite contemporary. So looking at these old buildings, I wondered what the practices in Willow Court were likely to be. So I went to the interview, eventually got appointed to the position, and then moved here in early 1990 with my family. In taking on the role and being exposed to Willow Court in those first few weeks, the immediate impression I got was that the structure, the fabric of the institution itself was a massive barrier to any positive outcomes for the clients. You need to have an environment that supports, you know, the development of skills and provision of opportunities, and many of those buildings just didn't provide that opportunity at all. I know that Willow Court shared the campus with Royal Derwent Hospital, and that there had, before I arrived, there'd been a separation of people who were diagnosed with a mental health issue from those who had an intellectual disability. Clearly there were some clients who would have fallen into both categories. And I think that the delineation was probably quite loose in terms of who stayed in the Willow Court side as opposed to moving to the Royal Derwent side. In terms of the staff, it was quite empowering and pleasing to find that many of those staff were really keen to see improvements in the way that they operated in their practice and for the lives of those people who were there, who they were caring for and supporting. But it was very much a model that was based on care rather than development. And coming from Adelaide, where we'd moved from a medical model to very much more a social development model, it meant that we had a whole bunch of staff who were not contemporary in their practice and their thinking. I also found fairly quickly the reputation was that many people who had, for various reasons, not succeeded in careers in the disability sector in other states and countries, somehow all fell to the bottom of the pile and ended up working at Willow Court. And so there were quite diverse views, people from diverse training and different philosophies of approach. That was a bit of a challenge for us. As I arrived, the last lot of TANs, the trained auxiliary nurses, had just been, were just completing their training at that time, and that was the last group of people to go through that training. We had, I can't remember the title of the positions that were being trained at TAFE at the time, but we had a group of people coming out of those training courses who came and worked at Willow Court and took up positions as program officers, which was
developmental disability.
That wasn't the title of the job though.
Social trainers
are the ones, that's the ones. So social trainers came out of TAFE for the first time, and because of the impact of the Pettifer report, all the major parties politically were very supportive of significant change to the institution. And by the time I arrived, a budget commitment had been made for the employment of 10 program officers who were taken from the ranks of social trainers. And that was really the first opportunity to have a group of staff who were reasonably contemporarily trained and who had a focus around development rather than simply care and medical health issues. As I said earlier, a lot of people who were very dedicated to supporting those clients. There were quite a high percentage of staff who were keen to see change. There were a whole bunch of people who were not keen to see any change at all. And there was a small percentage of people who probably today would still say that change never occurred. They just put their head in the sand and believed it wasn't happening, even though it was happening around them. So I started in February 1990, and at that time, Willow Court and the management of Willow Court had been placed under the Department of Community Services, and that was a reasonably new state government department, and the management arrangements were at that stage still under a board of management for the Royal Derwent Hospital. That only lasted a couple of months before we left the board to just focus on Royal Derwent, and we just became a standalone component. The first 12 months we had to separate out all of the shared services on the campus, so things like maintenance and transport and laundry and meals and all those kind of things we had to separate, because the Royal Derwent Hospital was staying under the health department, Willow Court was under community services, so we had to negotiate budgets and processes around all of that. I was also, so my task really when I took the role on was twofold. One was that we had to implement an entirely new career structure in the institution. So from my position down, every position was spilled and filled. It was all redesigned, the position descriptions were redone, and we went through consultation sessions, discussions with unions, and eventually a spill and fill recruitment of position of people to positions. When you do that, there's a bunch of people who are happy with the outcome, and there's a bunch of people who may not be. So some people certainly fell down the rankings of the hierarchy at that time. The other major component of my task was to develop a plan to basically shut the institution down. As part of the statewide redevelopment of the disability sector, a new statewide manager for disability was recruited at around about the same time I was being recruited. And it turns out the person appointed to the position was called Mark Francis, who came to Tasmania from South Australia. And I'd actually bumped into Mark. I didn't know him well, but I'd bumped into him once or twice before coming to Tassie. So after knowing nobody in the state at all and having no family or friends here, to at least be able to put a face to a name of the new manager was some degree of comfort. But within a couple of months, Mark and I, his office used to be at the John Edis Hospital in Newtown. And within a couple of months, Mark and I were sitting in his office one rainy Sunday. We spent the whole day there drawing up what was to become the deinstitutionalisation program for Willow Court. And I remember mid-afternoon on that rainy Sunday, sitting there in intense discussions with Mark about what the future group home type models might look like, what numbers would be, what the budget would be required, developing models around day programs and support, and bursting out laughing. And I think Mark must have thought I'd gone mad at the time, because he said, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "It just freaks me out that we're sitting here with a handheld pocket calculator working out a $14.5 million program in a state where we really don't know anything about the resources and the infrastructure in other parts of the state other than the institution that we're responsible for." But we did it. We pulled off a proposal that was then submitted to Cabinet and was unanimously supported by all parliamentarians at the time. And I think it's worth noting, during the 6 years or so I was at Willow Court, there were at least two occasions where I happened to be in the office of the relevant minister of the day when they received phone calls, both of them from members of their own party, who were questioning the commitment, the ongoing commitment to deinstitutionalisation of Willow Court and the budget implications that were attached to that. And on both occasions, those ministers turned around and said to their colleagues, "If you fail to back me up on this and keep it going to its end point, I will resign and I will bring down this government." And both of those, one were from the Liberal Party, one was from the Labor Party over the years. So it just is such an indication of the strength of commitment that people had to getting this right, to making significant improvements.